United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Chris Stafford, and this week's show focuses on the Future Event Horse program. Robin Walker will be bringing us up to date with developments with the Future Event Horse Committee and the program. But first, we hear from Jenny McFall, who is the newest member of the Future Event Horse Committee, and she explains how the program is developing on the West Coast. Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Chris.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know this is always a busy time for you when you're involved with horses, with the program that you have, breeding and training. You are really active at both ends of the scale, aren't you?
Oh, we'd like to be, yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about your program, Jenny, your breeding program there, where you are on the West Coast and how you've built your program.
Well, we're centrally located in California, in the Sacramento area. You know, we're a very big state, so it takes 7 hours to get both ways for us. We are... we're interested in breeding a modern sport horse, modern day event horse, and something that is both amateur friendly and professional friendly. So we're looking to cross strong thoroughbred lines with mostly Holsteiners. I know that the hybrid horse, the warm blood thoroughbred, is here to stay, and so our interest is in the Holsteiner thoroughbred cross.
Now, why did you choose the Holsteiner in the first place to cross with your thoroughbreds, Jenny?
I have to say it's probably because of my first love, Morgan horses. That's where I grew up. And the Holsteiner is just a beautiful, expressive horse, and much like the Morgan horse. But it's also, it has a lot of personality. It's somewhat of a family-friendly horse. They're really an intense personality horse, which I love.
So how did this all begin then? When did you decide, you know, that you were going to identify some mares that would start this program?
You know, we just started really developing our program and what we were going to do. So we have some really nice thoroughbred mares focusing on the Comet Shine line, who is the sire of Clages Comet, and crossing those with a stallion that we have called the Twain, who is the sire of the West Coast Future Event Horse Champion, who's a full thoroughbred himself. And so we're crossing these mares with him in hopes of producing some fillies to then cross out to some warm blood stallions. So that's what we're doing.
So how far would we have to go back in your program then to find European stock? Have you tried to stay, you know, as close to home as possible with the foundation stock?
Yes, yes, for sure. I think the American horses are just as good as European lines. I think that they're just not as highly concentrated, and so you don't maybe see one stallion or another being, you know, used over and over again like you would in Europe. But I think that we have fantastic lines that if you concentrate on them, you're going to see that strong, even production like they do in Europe.
So what are you looking for then in the mares particularly?
We're looking for temperament, first of all. I think that sometimes the mare's temperament gets overlooked. People rely a lot on the stallion. So we're looking for temperament. Our type is light and athletic, quick, with a good, I think you have to have a very good moving mare. People rely on the stallion a lot for an extravagant movement, which you really need these days in eventing. You can't have, you know, somewhat of an average horse anymore. So I think you need a mare with quite a bit of trot. And obviously the jumping and the run has to be there. But I think that nowadays movement much more important.
So how many mares do you have, and what stallions are you using at the moment, Jenny?
Well, right now we're concentrating on using the Twain to really get, if you will, a strong base, a foundation of good thoroughbred lines. But we are interested in some European lines that are highly blooded. I really like the heraldic line, so we are breeding to Mighty Magic, and really like Herald 3. So it's not that we're against using the European lines, but I do think that there's a lot of American lines here that people are overlooking.
So how many foals would you be looking to produce then a year as you build the program, Jenny?
Well, we're kind of a boutique breeder, so and the farm has always been that way. So we don't like to produce more than 3 to 6 foals a year. We're really, we start them all ourselves, and so any more than 6 gets to be quite a bit of work.
I can imagine, because you also have horses in competition, don't you? How many are you currently do you have?
Yeah, we show several. We have about 10 of our own that we compete, and then we have client horses, and we have clients going to shows. So, yeah, it gets to be a handful if you have too many babies, and I hate to... you know, sometimes they get left to their own devices a little too much. So you want to have hands-on if you can.
You're the newest member of the FEH committee at the USCA, and obviously something that is dear to your heart to build this program for the future and for the sport. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts on where you would like to see this go to build up the West Coast in line with the rest of the country, particularly the East Coast. What do you think it needs?
Well, I think that the West Coast actually, you know, has quite a few great breeders, some breeders that are very committed to the sport, and you also have the single family breeder here, because breeding has become so much more, you know, easily available. I think people are having fun, you know, breeding their nice mare at the end of their careers and that sort of thing. And I just wanted to bring those people together. It's such a, the West Coast is so big. It is hard to bring them together, but I want them to come together and bring their young stock and show, you know, the world and each other how nice that the horses are here that are available possibly for sale. People don't have to, you know, travel as much as they think they do to find a quality horse.
So what is available then at the moment in terms of prizes at the West Coast FEH Championships, Jenny?
Well, we have some really exciting prizes. Obviously, fantastic coolers and trophies and all the fun things you can think of, halters and whatnot. But we also have a really great prize for all of the ages. 3-year-old champion, 2-year-old champion, and yearling champion will all receive an entry to the Galloway Downs training level 3-day event, and so they will be able to compete at the training 3-day as a 5-year-old, fully sponsored. So that's really exciting, I think.
Well, give us some final thoughts, Jenny, on what would you like to see as the future of breeding on the West Coast, and your message to people that are coming into the sport and perhaps thinking about breeding themselves, not just for the future event horse program, but also for the young event horse program as well, and how it's going to feed into the sport up through the levels.
Well, I think that for me, I feel a responsibility to breed my nice mares and to produce top-level horses here in the United States and on the West Coast. So there's so many fabulous mares out here competing, and people are breeding them now. And I think you're going to start to see, instead of just retiring, they're breeding them. And I think you are going to see a jump in the quality of horses here. And I think you are going to see horses that the judging is getting very consistent in the young event horse now. consistent in that they're looking for upper level prospects, not just sort of the best performer at the age of 4 and 5. And you're seeing those horses starting to do very well, going into their 3 stars now, doing really well. So they're showing that they are picking horses that are going to go on and do 3 and 4 stars and be competitive internationally. So I think that people are starting to take the programs very seriously and are wanting to enter and compete and vie for the really exciting prizes, including grants and that sort of thing. And so I think you're going to start to see a strong following for young event horse and future event horse on both coasts.
And what is the age of your oldest crop of youngsters at the moment that are out there, Jenny?
Well, the oldest is my now 5-year-old that won the 4-year-old championships last year. And we have beautiful 4-year-old this year to compete, and I have several for the 3-year-olds next year, and several for the 2-year-olds. So really excited about bringing those along and showing people what we've been doing, and it's a slow process of love and a lot of patience, but we're super excited to compete and show people what you can do.
And we can expect to see those going to the upper levels, hopefully, with you, I presume.
Absolutely, and my husband as well. So, yes, we are so excited to compete homebreds and show people what a little time and patience can do.
The very best of luck with it, and thank you for being involved with the Future Event Horse Committee there and representing the West Coast, Jenny. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Robin Walker from Area 8 is a breeder, trainer, and competitor, and a member of the Future Event Horse Committee. Robin, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you bring us up to date with the program, Robin, how it's looking now and the direction it's going since we last spoke?
We've conducted more of the symposiums. The Ocala one went very well. That started to run in conjunction with YEH. And things start to fill out and get broader, a bit deeper. Obviously we're going to have some challenges going forward, as does every program, but things are starting to get more formalized, more structured, more depth, all across the board as we get further in.
So talk about the growth of it, I think, particularly, because we're going to hear later from Jenny McFall, who is obviously watching things on the West Coast. She's become involved with the committee recently. How is it from your perspective on this side or in the middle of the country?
Well, I think there's a whole group of people that are interested in the breeding, and I've been interested in the breeding ever since I was a lot younger, with so many trips to Ireland and spent during those time growing up. So I think there's a whole group of people that are interested and have got the ability to do it, and it's great that we've been able to start to capture that and funnel it in a productive direction. I see it hopefully getting bigger and stronger in the middle and on the East Coast. I thought it was great that the finals were at Fairhill. I know that caused some consternation for some people, but I thought it was. I had one or two comments from people who could actually see the end game with the 2 and 3-star horses and could compare their own experience with what they were doing and breeding, and I think that was a great, great interchange and a great. Interplay between the two groups. I mean, most of the breeders are not going to be active riders, so I think the more we can do to encourage that development and that flow into the horse under tack, the better.
And do you see now that there is a broader foundation of stock here, Robin, that we're not relying so much on the European imports?
Not yet. We've had a 3-star winner that was bred here. And there's some nice stuff around, but we're just not deep enough yet. Somebody asked me that in one of the seminars, why do you still go over to get stuff? Because, I mean, I've done that the last few years, gone to the Gold for Gold sale and principally gone after 3-year-olds. But we're just not, we've got good stuff coming, but it's such a long-term project and it's such a long-term development. When you look back in the breeding programs of the other countries, and it's generational. So yes, there's some nice stuff around, but not in the depth that you will see back in Europe or in Ireland.
So what would you advise breeders then, potentially those that are coming into the business and thinking that they might get started and this is a program they want to become involved with, where would you suggest they start to look for their foundation stock?
Well, I think to have a competitive mare is a top priority. I mean, I based my decisions on what I grew up with and what I know. I think that would be the first place that I would be looking at. The second place I went was we have a mass of thoroughbred mares here. Some of them are the older, less fashionable lines now. I've had good luck with two or three of those. And I mean, it starts with your quality mare, and then you go from there. If you can have access to a decent mare that's competed and has got a performance record, then that's the place to start, I think.
And in terms of stallions, then, as we're going to hear what's happening on the West Coast shortly, but you keep an eye on right across the country, particularly the Midwest and the East Coast. If people were looking for the right stallion, where would you direct them, or would you just take a look at the video of the mare first and then advise them?
Well, the old lads in Ireland told me that never don't breed to a stallion unless you've seen him in person, and that gives you a proper look at, the character and the personality, and I think you've got to make up your mind what you're trying to breed. I mean, all of us want to have a commercial horse in the end. That commercial horse doesn't necessarily have to end up being a three or a four star horse. Some of the most valuable horses can be amateur horses that can do the job upside down, inside out every weekend. Very often the real upper level horses, that they're not the easiest when they're young, but I do think if you're heading down that road to try and breed a truly upper level horse, then you've got to be looking at blood. Personally, I don't see the game having changed that much. Format's changed, but I still think you're looking at an awful lot of blood when you are thinking of going 10 or 11 minutes, if that's your end game. So that would be what would govern my decision if I had a decent mare that I was going to try and breed an upper level horse with.
And would you advise then new breeders to look at the big picture, look at the upper level horse, or to start off small and aim for the lower levels and getting some breeding stock established?
When I started, I wanted my stallions to have done it, and I didn't have access to proven mares, so that produced a few disappointments. That also produced a few nice horses that were of lower level but entirely commercial when it came to the amateur market, the training preliminary one star type market. I've been fortunate enough to have access since to some higher quality mares, and there's some nice stuff on the ground now. So I would advise, I mean, you want to try and breed the best thing that you can within limits, but I think a within reason, but I think it's a proper look at what you're trying to achieve before you start. I know Michelle Robbins has done a great job with her Irish draft horses, and she's breeding for a specific market, and she's had great success with that. So I think there are a lot of people right now. It depends on what you've got access to and what's available. But the bottom line is, am I going to be able to breed a commercial horse, something that is going to have value? And of course, that that's an open-ended question when they hit the ground. There's a lot that everybody knows. There's a lot that can go wrong between them arriving and getting to 3 years old when they fall in their third year when they start to get broken riding, you know.
Right. And in terms of the program then, Robin, you know, we're getting into another year, another cycle, more crop, you know, the next crop's going to be on the ground shortly. And is there anything that you would like to see happen with the program to just inch it forward a little bit more?
Well, it's fantastic that we've got Jackie's support, and we have some challenges going forward. We are ultimately going to have to resolve the whole concept of the championships and whether they become on a regional basis. That's a debate that is going on right now and how we resolve that, because it's an awful long way to be travelling young ones to simply accommodate them in one venue. So I see that as a challenge going forward. As we develop the judges, I mean, inevitably, there's going to be, you know, we've had a couple of awkward moments, I have to say, with one or two things. But that's inevitable with starting something from the ground up. And I think as long as you, from my own point of view, if you want to try and make a difference, you've got to be able to throw your hat in the ring and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. We've got more venues coming on, but I think we need to be able to develop a bigger infrastructure as we go forward, and we're already after that. But it's going to take a while before we can offer, before we're established in every area, all the most relevant areas, so that we always keep it about the young horses and how far they have to travel, so we're not asking people to go, you know, and do things that are just not really acceptable with a country of our size, you know.
Well, we have that challenge, and of course, as you say, this program is a generational thing. So thank you very much indeed for your contribution and for coming on the show this week.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you can find much more information on the website about the Future Event Horse, the Young Event Horse, and the New Event Horse programs by clicking on the Programs tab on the front page. This podcast is available for download on iTunes, so you can listen to all the shows on your smartphone. You can also comment on these podcasts on the Facebook page. Until the next time, enjoy your eventing.